Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
What's up, everyone? We're back with the Ginther Group, our friend Blake Ginther. They are real estate experts and presenting sponsors right here on the Triad Podcast Network. Today, we teased this last episode, Blake. I want to talk about our experience. Been waiting to do this. And by the time people are listening to this podcast, fingers crossed, knock on wood, by the time people are listening to this podcast, we will have closed on the sale of a home working with the Ginther Group. I want to unpack all of that on this podcast. And we may reverse roles here, right? You get to maybe I'll just sit back and let you drill me with questions for a little while. But I kind of want to go back and replay all of this. And you know, it all happened so fast because, man, everything that you have talked about, look, I'll say everything that you have talked about and all your projections and all of what you think is happening and your market analysis, it's all true because we experienced it firsthand in terms of how quickly things happened once our home was listed. Like, it was fast and furious. And I'd love to kind of go through some of that. But anyway, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you. And this is going to be fun, by the way, right? We're going to do a little role reversal.
Yeah.
Where I get to ask questions. And you know, it's funny. I think the obviously the most commonly asked question is in my world is, you know, how's the market now? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's still some of the people who go, when's the bubble being burst? You know, when's the bubble going to burst? If, you know, and then there's some that are like, you know, they don't think it will, right? It's just going to continue on. And both probably are a little right, a little wrong, right? But preparing, it's interesting to hear you say that, by the way, about from a seller's perspective about our market. And as agents, especially for sellers, we really struggle to our number one job of an agent is to set expectations, right? Is to prepare folks for what is most likely going to happen.
Right.
And on a list side, on the sell side, we really don't know. Like, I mean, that's why we give big ranges. We gave you a pretty wide range.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I think the offers that we received were almost pretty much spot on to the range we gave you from the lowest. Might've been, we never got higher. As low.
They were higher. They were higher than the range you gave us. Yeah.
Which we prefer, right? Never want to like
overpromise. You don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. Correct. You want the opposite.
And obviously, there were certain terms of offers you received, and we won't be able to go over the specific terms. But there were certain elements of the terms that even I was like, "Oh wow," in a positive way for you.
Yeah,
guys. Yeah. So there is elements of that. I'm like, well, I'm glad this happened to the dude who does the podcast because he's definitely going to be able to say good.
That's right. I hope he has a good experience. Yeah.
But the setting of expectations is our number one job. And it's really hard to know.
Yeah.
We don't, anyone's being real on the real. You don't know. You don't.
Yeah.
You have an educated guess.
I'd say that was so helpful at the beginning because when I told you that we wanted to sell this home, it's not the home that we live in. It's a home that we were renting, to someone else. And the first thing you did is you and one of your listing agents, Neely, the two of you came over to the house and we walked through it. We did everything that you said that you normally do in terms of a first step. But the thing that was super helpful was the two of you emailed me and said, here are three ways you can do this. You can do absolutely nothing and you can put it on market as is. And here's the range. Here's the floor. Here's the ceiling in terms of purchase price. And then you said option B, you can do this, 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 and this to the house. And in our case, it was you can paint, you can pressure wash, you can do a, you know, maybe change out some light fixtures, but nothing that's going to take you weeks and weeks and weeks. You can say you can get that done in a couple of weeks. Here's how much it'll cost you. This is your floor, this is your ceiling. And then there's option C, which is you can do a ton of stuff. You can change out kitchen counters, you can change out cabinets, you can do all this stuff and plus the painting and everything like that. And this is how much you're going to spend. This is your floor, this is your ceiling for purchase price. And here's how long it's going to take, because closing date and how quickly we could get it listed was important to us as well. And right. So you took all of those things that were important to us, you and Neely, and we kind of put that all on the table. And at the end, we went with option B, because to me, it wasn't about how much we were going to spend on it. It was the return that we were going to get was a higher percentage. I think I told you it was going to be like a 5-to-1 return.
Yep.
On here's how much you spent, but here's how much you're going to hear your floor is going to grow. And while we could have gotten more money by going with option C, the rate of return wasn't as high of a percentage. And so we went with option B. You gave us amazing people to help, awesome painter, people that could help to work on the outside. We had to repair the deck on the house. Get some stuff cleaned up in the backyard, things like that. And we were right in terms of the money we spent. We were right in that budget range that you gave us. That's exactly what we spent. And then at the end of the day, the purchase price exceeded the ceiling of what you said for option B. So, I mean, it was spot on, man. It really was.
Do that. I'm glad as for this podcast, it's very for, no, I'm kidding. No, I mean, you know, obviously, when we do that, I mean, first of all, I think we all got together a couple days ago and we were like, let's look into our why. Like, why do we do the things we do from a community perspective? And then let's talk about, you know, a little bit about our how, and, you know, cause it was Simon Sinek's TED talk, which is a great TED talk, by the way. I mean, anything Simon Sinek is awesome. But it was his TED talk around his book, Start With Why, which is a great book. And I highly recommend it to anybody. And if you don't want to read the book, go listen to his 18-minute TED talk. But, you know, it talks a lot about, you know, a lot of people focus on their what, right? And some talk, or they talk about their how, but very few talk about their why. And they oftentimes do the reversal of what, how, why, when it needs to go the other way around. Talk about why you do what you do. And a big part of what we talk about on this podcast is our community, is Winston. And every one of our agents has a different charity, a different way they want to impact the city we live in, right? But that's why we do what we do. But now how we do what we do is what you just described, right? Options.
Yep.
Giving folks their options and marketing in an element, in a way that we know can win the what, which is ultimately selling the house. So anyways, it's interesting to hear you say that out loud. Cool. And let me ask you, so now that you chose option B, which, by the way, in a softer market, a lot of people had to pick or felt the pressure to pick A, right? The expensive one. And you know, the as is wasn't even an option. And B was softer return. So people picked A a lot. I love, and it's made our job a little easier, that more people are picking B and C, the as is or the in between. Yeah. And more often than not, the in between is from a math perspective, which I love that you just flat out like math. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And it was the right choice. And I think we even said in our email, if I recall, being like, probably if it were my home, I'd do B.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So then, how many, do you remember how many offers you got?
I know it was double digits. We had it listed for a little more than 2 days before we accepted an offer.
You had an offer. How quickly did you have an offer?
Oh, within a couple hours. The thing, and I remember I took a picture, I took a screenshot and I texted it to you on the first day. So the home went live on a Thursday morning. And everything went according to schedule. Like when we first met, we said, here's our target date that we want to list. And we nailed it. We did. And I remember getting, so there's a service that was put into place where we could get notifications through email and text of when a showing was scheduled. And by the way, the advice that you give to people where it's, if you're listing a home in this market currently, get out of town. Get out of town for 2 to 3 days.
If at all possible, don't be there.
Because I was getting blown up all Thursday morning with notifications of showings. And for 2 straight days, it was 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. nonstop. Every 30 minutes. You know, I was trying to schedule somebody to come and take a look at something over at the house, a contractor, and I couldn't find an hour window to do it when nobody would be there for a showing. So it was nonstop. I was talking to actually some of the neighbors at the house the other day, and they were commenting on just how chaotic it was, people coming in and out. And so, yeah, we got an offer really quick, and it actually ended up being the offer we took at the end of the day. The first offer that came in was the first one we took, and it came in very early, very early.
They wrote some terms I've never seen. By the way, just side note, what you just described, we call the zoo effect,
yeah.
Right? And that's what that's our intention, right? Our intention is to, the market is silly, but that's a big difference between, you know, frankly, listing it, a seller listing in their home by themselves, mm-hmm. listing it with, frankly, an agent that might not market as hard as they should, and agents that, and there's a lot of them. I'm not just saying it's us. It's a lot of you know, highly of full-time, full marketing agents and getting, like you said, the double digit and the zoo effect, because the zoo effect is crucial.
Yep. So, you know, while the first offer we got was very aggressive and attractive, you know, we wanted to let things play out a little bit. Let's say, all right, because we had showing scheduled for the next 2 days straight. And yeah, I think at the end of the day, we probably ended up with 13 to 15 total offers, in 2 days. You know, we thought about doing an open house on a Saturday. We canceled that. We didn't need that. And the thing I thought that was also really helpful was at the end of each day, I would get a spreadsheet from Neely, who was helping as the listing agent. And she was tremendous. I can't say enough good things about her. I would get a spreadsheet of all of our existing offers, breaking it down, all the key things to consider when weighing the different offers. It wasn't just here are all the different purchase prices they offered. Here's the due diligence. Here's the purchase price. Here's whether it's a cash or a loan. And I learned why that's an important thing to consider.
Yep.
Here's the closing date that they want to offer, all of it. It was all broken down into a spreadsheet every single day. And we were communicating throughout the process so that, you know, we were always able to weigh the most recent options that we had.
Yeah. And so let's go in real quick. Let's just spend a side note talking about, because we talk, I mean, you know more about real estate because of, I mean, we talk a lot about real estate.
Yeah.
So, but there were a couple things you probably learned, a couple new terms or a couple mm-hmm. new elements. And like you said, why the loan type matters. What is it from a seller's perspective, would you say, what's one or two things that you learned from that?
Well, the difference between cash and loan is there are certain things that you have to get done for a loan, you know, because if you're offering cash, you don't have to worry about an appraisal. You know, there's closing is a lot different. That was the thing that stood out to me. I mean, you tell me kind of what other things there were, but the one takeaway that I had in terms of why a cash offer is better than a loan is if you accept the loan offer and the home doesn't appraise close to what the offer is for purchase price, that changes things.
It could, right? The buyer could either have to bring a ton of cash or they're going to ask you to lower your price. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we did, we covered it all with your home. Your home was not in a USDA qualified. There's only a pocket of Forsyth County that covers USDA, but you were not in that pocket. So I think, but I do think we had a VA, FHA, conventional, and cash. I think we had all four.
Yep.
So everything but USDA, and we covered, you know, what that meant to you as a seller. And you know, I think the number one thing that was kind of covered right away was, and we talk about it a lot on this show, is due diligence, right? Yeah. And that initial commitment to the transaction, which is the number one way our market has changed. A year ago, you know, I swear it's going to become like a thing where we say pre-COVID, and even those first few months of COVID, due diligence monies were measured by the hundreds or low thousands, like 1,000, 1,500. Then this fall, they raised a little bit. And then this year, 2021, they have jumped through the roof. And we see a lot of, I would say 5,000 is the new 1,000, right? I would say 3,000 is the new 500. and 10,000 and up is really the new a couple of $1,000 due diligences, which we're now getting regularly five-figure due diligences.
We won't disclose the actual number, but is it safe to say that the due diligence money that we received in our accepted offer is a new record?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely a new record. I mean, you received more due diligence monies than most people put down on a down payment when they're putting down a good down payment. I mean, it was a heck of a due diligence. It was ultimately the reason why they won. Because they did not offer, you went with an offer.
It was not the highest purchase price.
Which is a good segue, right? A good segue to, as a seller, right? And this is something, there might be buyers listening to this. There might be, and there, I'm sure, are sellers. And so why did he choose an offer? So Adam, why did you choose an offer that was, honestly, we're talking about five figures below a better, you know, a higher priced offer?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, it Neely and I got on the phone on a Saturday afternoon, again, a little more than 48 hours after we had listed. And by that point we had the double digit offers, and we went through and it kind of came down to two options. It was this one, which was a purchase price. All of our offers were above asking. I think that's important to point out. They were all above listing. We had the one offer with the ridiculously high due diligence money. It was a cash offer. We had this other one that came in at a higher purchase price, also a cash offer, but fairly low due diligence, like by today's market standards, like what you were just saying, pretty low. I think it was not even close to five figures. And I think the reason why, at the end of the day, the reason why we went with the lower purchase price with the higher due diligence is I thought to myself, A, this is a slam dunk. There's no way this is not going to closing. And
you almost hope it doesn't.
Right. Yeah, I know, right? We talked about that previously because I asked the question, like, what happens with the due diligence money if you don't close? And like I said, by the time people are listening to this, we should have closed on the sale. The other factor was, without having gone through it, and this is where Neely and the folks on your team were very helpful with your expertise was it was a risk. We were risking having to negotiate the money down, possibly having to go back on the market because there wasn't as much due diligence offered. We would might've had to start over. And at the end of the day, the potential buyer could have nickeled and dimed all these little things that they found in inspections and whatnot. And we could have ended up with a purchase price that was below the other offer at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have as much, they didn't have the same motivation to close on the sale that the first offer did. So it, at the end of the day, I think for a purchase price that wasn't blowing the other one away necessarily, it was higher, but not by a significant amount. Mm-hmm. We thought it was a little too risky, and we thought at the end of the sale, we may have ended up with less.
Yeah, because a lot of cash offers, especially without giving away, secrets. The one offer was an investor, right? The higher offer was an investor offer, investors. And it's one of the things that, we're not going to have time today. Well, it'll be our next podcast. But one of the things that I mentioned to you before we hit record was there are so many investors in our market right now. And not air quote investors, but national investors, big company investors running commercials that basically say, I'll just say it, Open Door runs commercials that says, you have two options, right? As a seller, you have two options today. You can either for sale by owner it or you can sell it to us.
Yep.
And I'm like, wait, I had to play it back. I'm like, did they really just say that? And I went back, I played it, and I was like, yeah. So traditionally selling your home on open market is not an option. So you should either for sale by owner it where you won't get multiple offers. Mm-hmm. Typically you'll get one or two, and certainly won't create a zoo for yourself. And for sale by owners, I think there are people who are succeeding for sale by owning the home, and they might feel like it's a zoo by having a handful of people come through and getting an offer or two. That ain't a zoo. You can tell them all about a zoo, which is
and
some people might be listening to this going, well, that sounds terrible. Well understood, but that's how you guarantee yourself incredible terms and guarantee yourself a sale.
Yep, because we got above asking, we got aggressive due diligence, we got the closing date we wanted, we got all the terms that we wanted out of this. And to anybody out there that's thinking, well, how hard is it to sell a house? It may not be as difficult to go under contract, but just going through what we have since it went under contract to getting close to the closing date, this is where the value of working with you guys has also really paid off, because there's still a lot of negotiation and communication that has to go back and forth. Because it's, there's still a lot of work to be done once you agree upon the terms, a lot of work. And, that in terms of like selling to an investment company, I don't know if this is true or not. This is just kind of my perception. They try to lure you in with the higher purchase price offer to get you to accept it, and then they kind of go to work on you a little bit.
That's pretty common MO, right? That is pretty common for a national investment company MO, yeah. Right? Is get it under contract, tie it up, and then dangle the carrot, and then snatch when it's under contract, and say, well, we didn't know about blank X, Y, and Z. We can close in 48 hours, but only at blank price.
Yeah. Yeah. And so those kind of risks, that's the reason why we went with the other offer that was lower purchase price, much, much higher due diligence. That it was a sure thing.
Yeah.
It was a sure thing. It was above asking, had the closing date we want. We were very happy with it. It wasn't that hard of a decision, but those were the two options we were deciding between.
Yeah, you had a bunch of other great offers.
We did.
But they just couldn't compete with those two.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, man, thank you for the kind words. Everybody, obviously, I think works their butt off to hear, you know, hopefully happy folks. And, you know, shout out to Brittany and Kimberly. And
yeah, I didn't even mention the other people on your team that, you know, Neely was a great listing agent, but I do want to speak to, Brittany and Kimberly in your office. Their customer service, if that's the right term to use here, just in terms of like, okay, your home's under contract. Here's what's next. Here's what to expect. Here's what you're going to need to do. We're going to reach out to you at this time for this and this time for this, and just be ready. Like, here's the timeline to get you to your closing date. And the amount that they communicated, their responsiveness, made me feel like, and this is not lip service because we're here on a podcast together. This is, I would tell you this in private, and I would tell anybody else this in private. They made it seem like we were the only home that was being sold by how quickly and how well they were communicating with us.
Man,
and I know that's not the case because of just the market right now and what you guys do as a group. But that's the way they made us feel that way. And it was a huge asset in this whole process.
Man, that's just the best to hear. Thank you, brother. And yeah, I knew you had mentioned them beforehand. So now they get a public shout out, and they do, they work hard and they take great pride in hopes that people will say what you just said. So, that's awesome. And I mean, I'm hopeful that this podcast will tell, you know, it's interesting to hear from the realtor's perspective, how the market is, and from, you know, talking about different terms and the process, but I think it's much more valuable in a way for the consumers to hear from another consumer, mm-hmm. right? Consumer to consumer, how is the market from your, you know, from how did you experience it? What went right? And, you know, listen to all this positive thing. Is there anything that constructive criticism, right? Anything that knowing what we now know that we can help you set expectations, like, oh, by the way, this might happen. Or, you know, is there anything constructive?
It's a good question. I hadn't really thought about that. Man, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe just knowing ahead of time all the different things you need to weigh in terms of how an offer is structured.
That's great.
Because we went into it and I thought, okay, the things we need to be looking for are purchase price, due diligence, and closing date. But there were other things like I didn't know going into it the difference, what, you know, why it might make a difference for a seller to know whether they're doing a cash offer or they're getting a loan.
Right. And what kind of loan?
And what kind of loan is it? So maybe talking through that to say, hey, you know, here's, you're going to get some cash offers and you're going to get some that aren't cash offers. And here's how that might affect things.
Man, I think we should do a podcast. I mean, I know we've had lenders on this before, but I think we should do a podcast about lending. And I actually think that I'm not going to speak to it from a lender's perspective, but I'm going to speak to it from a realtor's perspective. And you mm-hmm. can from a seller's who just explored options.
Yeah.
I think we should probably, or you know, not the entire podcast because people might be bored, but just a little bit, right? Just a 5-minute, 7-minute mm-hmm. segment about the different types of loans and the different types of products within the loans. Because you don't just go conventional. You can go 97% conventional.
Yep.
State Employees Credit Union, you can get 100% conventional. You can get, so, and those things matter to sellers too, by the way, right? A 100% loan versus a 97% loan versus a mm-hmm. 90% loan versus an 80% loan. Those all matter to sellers.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were certain things in the loan where it was, I have to go back through the spreadsheet. But it was, this is a loan offer for this price, but it's like a 50, there's a 15% number in there in terms of what they would offer if it, I think it had to do with the appraisal value percentage to purchase offer percentage.
Yeah.
It was those two numbers. What did it appraise for versus what are they offering to buy it for? And what's the percentage difference?
Yeah. And will they make it up? Will they be able to? Will they not? Yeah.
Right.
And I think, you know, that is helpful from our perspective because it's almost as an agent, you're like, you're almost timid to say all the different terms because you don't want to set expectations necessarily. We want a zoo and we want multiple offers, but you don't necessarily know, you know, how many offers and what different types of products. So, but I do think in our current market, especially in the price point that your home was in, we had a feeling we were going to get all different types of offers.
Yeah.
So talking about it beforehand would have been helpful.
Yeah. I think, you know, and so that would be my only constructive criticism is just, you know, educating on all the different things that could pop up in an offer that would have some separation between them all.
Yep.
At the end of the day, man, the thing that really stuck with me, other than just what you provide as a group to aid sellers in this whole process, is just how accurate you guys were on your projections. You know, like, I'll be honest, like, I know what we bought the home for, and I had a number in my head in terms of, wow, I'd be thrilled if we could sell it for this. And then when you guys started throwing out the numbers of, all right, if you do A, B, or C options, here's the floor, like the bottom of where it would sell, we think, based on your research, your data, and here's the ceiling. I looked at that like a little skeptical, like, no way. Like, I get the market is what it is, but come on. And I was wrong. And that was, I think, the thing I was most impressed by was just how accurate you guys were. And it's because you're not guessing. Like, you got data, you've got research, you've got historicals, you've got all this information that you're using to provide these. Here's what it's going to cost you to do this, this, or this. Here's where we think you'll end up. Here's where we want to list it to get you the most activity. It was all spot on. It really was.
Man, that is so cool to hear you say. Thank you. And you know, what I will say in our next podcast, we'll talk about this too, is the data is hardest to read in a massively adjusting market, right? So it was really hard to read that data in December and January, because the market was massively shifting. Hot, you know, inventory went way down and demand went way up. So our market massively shifted. You know, same with last spring. We didn't know a pandemic was going to hit us and we had no idea. So it's, you know, there are instances where the data is just flat out wrong or hasn't caught up. In this very current moment in time, I think the data is pretty darn, you know, there's not necessarily new records being broken as often currently as there were earlier mm-hmm. in the year. Mm-hmm. So it's a little easier, but communicating it and I think succinctly, knowing pricing is maybe the one thing that will give us a little bit of like a pattern. We know numbers and market has changed a lot. Paint costs have changed. Light fixtures, just contract work in general has changed, has gone up. And so consistently doing it and being in it daily is it helps us with that. And that's the hardest thing right currently in our market.
Yeah. Yeah. But that I was super impressed with just how accurate the precision, all of it in terms of the numbers. And now, because that's important, understanding the numbers. And, you know, for me, like, these decisions were very much math based in terms of like how much work we were going to put into the house, because it wasn't necessarily we want to get the most money out of the sale of the home. It was, for me, I looked at it more as a return on investment.
Absolutely.
And the option we took had the highest return on investment. It wasn't spending the most money to put into the house and it wasn't getting the highest purchase price out of it, but it had the highest return. It was like a 5-to-1 return. I was like, yeah, that's where we need to go. And it was, and we got higher than that because the ceiling that you gave us for that option, the offer we took was higher than that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And you got offers even way above that. I mean, yeah. It's, well, I know we probably rambled and I'm sorry. Because you know, you're normally when the roles are reversed, you keep me on track more, but I listen.
Well, that, I ramble a lot too. My answers can be very long winded.
I'm worse, I think so. But thank you for the kind words. Thanks for sharing. I think that was probably helpful to people to hear it from the consumer side of things.
Yeah. Well, I hope that helps people that are, I think it good provides good perspective from both sides, because from a buyer's perspective, it gets some insight into, okay, what mattered to this particular seller? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter to all sellers. I mean, everyone's different, but what mattered to this particular seller? And for me, you know, we did a whole podcast about this, the things that are important outside of purchase price, the way you can win the home without it, you know, outside of purchase price.
Yep.
So, and that was a huge factor for us. So anyway, if this helped somebody out there and you want to talk to Blake and the Ginther Group about your situation, how can they find y'all?
Theginthergroup.com or 336-283-8689, and appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing that.
Well, thanks to you. Thanks to Neely. Thanks to Brittany. Everybody on your team that was amazing through this whole process. And like I said, on the day of our recording, we haven't officially closed yet, but by the time people hear this, we will have closed. And man, it feels good to be able to say that.
Congrats, brother.
Thanks, Blake. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.